About 25 years ago, when I was minister of a church in Burlington, Iowa, I also served as a part-time chaplain to the medical center there. And as part of our hospital staff training, we went through disaster drills. Now, the day of training, my first, each of us was to report to our supervisor and find out what vital role we had in handling whatever the community disaster was. I was kind of excited, I have to admit, about what would be my job in responding to a disaster here in Burlington. Well, I went in to talk to my department head, and I have to say I was disappointed to find out that I was non-essential personnel. Now, if you want to be humble, think about what it's like to be non-essential personnel. Think about that phrase. Think about the fact that the world can go on without some of us. The good news is that we are all, or at least all can be, essential personnel. We're called to be a special group of people and to do some important things. In the passage from Matthew that Barry just read, Jesus called some ordinary fishermen to do the work of kingdom building. Jesus calls ordinary people like you and me to love and to serve. And as in the case of these fishermen, many times we don't need to learn new skills or receive extensive training for this. Jesus said, "You fishermen have been casting your nets into the sea. Follow me and you will fish for people." And they did. They were fishermen before and they were fishermen afterwards, but with Jesus, the focus and the priorities changed. Jesus says to you and I, "Follow me, you're essential personnel. Come as you are. Bring whatever gifts and talents you have and use them in my name. Bring your excitement and your enthusiasm and I'll channel them in the right direction. Bring your commitment and I will show you a place where you can make a difference. Bring your love and your hope and watch them change lives." Jesus' disciples were not a panel of experts. He took people whom the world had labeled in many ways as non-essential. Fishermen, tax collectors, notorious sinners, women who were never considered essential before. And Jesus used them and their gifts in doing the work of love and issuing the call to others to follow in the way of Jesus. People who never felt wanted found a place. People who doubted the world even knew they existed were suddenly essential personnel. You and I have been made essential personnel not by our own merit, but because of a follow me. A follow me we once heard that included us and accepted us and affirmed us. Most of us in this room have heard that voice and those words somewhere along the way. The minister who told us he thought we would be good working with the youth. A Sunday school teacher who encouraged us to consider ministry. The woman who sits in front of us at church and said, "You'd be great in the choir." Or maybe it was some scripture which helped us grow in our understanding and service. It happens in many different ways. So don't be surprised if you hear those words too. Jesus said, "Follow me," and the exciting thing is here is they did. Simon and Andrew, James and John decided to follow Jesus. But they weren't the only ones. All kinds of people responded. Not everybody decided to follow him, but a lot did. From Simon and Andrew to us, women and men, young and aging, people of all colors and classes have heard that invitation in the places where they live their lives. Jesus couldn't stop saying, "Follow me." I mean, it's one thing to ask some fishermen to come along for a stroll along the Sea of Galilee. But it's another proposition altogether to utter those words, "Follow me," so freely, almost carelessly. I mean, anybody might answer. You see, every time Jesus says, "Follow me," it affects us. I mean, we don't mind Jesus trying to help the prostitute build some self-esteem. But that doesn't mean we want to be sitting next to her in church. We sort of like this idea of Jesus letting the children sit in his lap. But you know, that's a long way from appreciating the gifts and the presence of children and overlooking the messes created in their celebrations. When Jesus bypasses the church on his way to eat at the house of the most disgusting person in town, we're a little miffed. But not nearly as miffed as when Jesus holds that character up as a better model of faith than we are. Suddenly our excitement over being claimed as essential personnel, people that we would like to think God cannot do without, all that's tempered by the presence of people who all our lives we've not only shunned, but tried our very best to not be like. One day Jesus came upon a woman caught in adultery, who was at the time receiving her just punishment. But now Jesus not only sent the self-appointed jury away, he let the woman go too. "Neither do I condemn you. So go your way and sin no more." At the most crucial moment, Peter denied knowing and following Jesus. So what did Jesus have to say to him later? "Follow me." And he did. The temptation is to think that Jesus used exceptional insight when he looked our way and said, "Follow me." It's an even greater temptation to wonder what in the world he was thinking when he called some of these others. But you know, that's not Jesus' problem. That's ours. In calling these others and inviting those on the fringes of society, Jesus had deemed them essential personnel as well. And some of us are offended by that. Life in the church would be a lot more comfortable if it were just us. But Jesus can't stop saying, "Follow me." He makes this invitation in such an undiscriminating way that most anybody might show up. At a time when churches are knee-deep in marketing techniques that are geared to attract people like those who are already here, Jesus is down by St. Vincent's inviting a homeless family to church. At a time when literature abounds on who can and cannot expect to come to our church, Jesus insists on knocking on every door in the neighborhood, in every section of the town. Jesus calls people that we have forgotten about and welcomes people we too often have treated as non-essential and were affected every time. We're affected because the call of God through Jesus is a call away from the divided and fragmented world. And into the one family of God where we all have a place. And everybody's welcome. It's a call to share a way of life together that the world has said, that's not reasonable, that's not desirable. In a book entitled Church in the Round, the author uses the round table as a metaphor for the church. The round table in itself, she says, emphasizes connection. For when we gather around, we are connected in an association or relationship with one another. When the church is a round table, all are welcome and all have a place. More than that, seating in the round is different from the usual sanctuary arrangement like this, where the pulpit resembles the scene of a lecture, which suggests the truth flows from one person to the rest of the people. At a round table, we gaze upon one another not in judgment, but in the realization that we need each other's understanding. We need each other's pieces of truth in order for our understanding of the truth to be complete. At the round table, we see ourselves in one another. My experience may shed light on your experience, and your way of approaching something may open up new ways of thinking for me. Even in a congregation of predominantly one race and class, which describes most congregations in this country, opportunities abound to learn from the many people who have responded to the invitation of Jesus. Baby boomers and people born before the Depression can learn from one another. Women and men don't experience the same things in the same way, and they can grow from understanding one another. Ministers and church members don't see things the same way. And we can share thoughts and views as we both journey toward the truth. We are not only essential personnel in the work of spreading the good news. We're essential personnel for and with one another. We need each other. You and me, to people of every race and class, to folks of every land and language, indeed, to all of creation, Jesus says, follow me. It's a call to love as Jesus loved, to welcome as Jesus welcomed, and to take our place alongside our brothers and sisters at that great round table where all God's children are essential personnel. Amen.